She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. This show is sponsored by Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Thank you for your support and for the great things you do for our community. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today to hear from a return guest and a pretty amazing human being making a big difference for the planet. Join me in welcoming Lori David.
Lori is an environmental activist who, for over a decade at least, has brought her passion and dedication to a long list of environmental and food issues, producing the game-changing Academy Award-winning documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, and helping to really ignite the green movement in America. Most recently, Lori has partnered with award-winning journalist Katie Couric, and they have executive produced Fed Up, a feature-length documentary that premiered at the 2014 Sundance Festival. I have seen the film. It will knock your socks off. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Please, please put it on your must-do list. The film examines the causes and impact of the childhood obesity epidemic and what can be done about it. And it is that not enough, Lori David? She just released her second book, The Family Cooks. It's all about getting your family to crave food that's simple, tasty, and incredibly good for you. Welcome back, Lori David.
Thank you for having me. And I would just add to your beautiful intro, thank you, that before anyone takes another bite, they really need to go see this movie. It's really about what we're eating and why it's making everybody so sick. And, you know, if you need food, you need to see this film. So that's my ask for your audience.
And my, you know, some days I wish I could be like a unifocused whirling dervish on a tear, if that, just create that visual. I'd love to have a bill passed that the movie would be mandatory for every single parent who has a child entering kindergarten, because I think it's that important.
Well, short of that, before that, you know, short of getting that passed, that might take a little while. How about if we try to get it into every school in the country?
No kidding.
I think that would be incredibly powerful. And, you know, one of the goals of the movie was that we thought parents would go see it and that they would bring their kids to go see it, because how many parents are dealing with trying to tell, you know, help get their kids to eat healthy and eat right and make good choices? Well, here's a movie that you can go see with your kids that they will get the message themselves, and that's very empowering.
And, you know, one of the things that I read in my research is the intro to the movie says, for the past 30 years, everything we thought we knew about food and exercise is dead wrong. That's pretty clear. Fed Up is the film that the food industry doesn't want you to see. And I would say, up until I saw the movie, I would not have put sugar as public enemy number one. I knew it was bad, but how insidious it is, how all-encompassing it is in every single bite of processed food, it blew the lid off for me a little bit.
Well, so, I would say, you know, first, there's a couple of things. First, 30 years ago, the United States government and the food industry knew that the American diet was going off the rails. They knew this, okay? They knew that that Americans were eating too much meat. They knew Americans were eating too much sugar 30 years ago. And Stephanie Sotik, who directed this movie, uncovered incredible footage of George McGovern, who was then a senator, doing hearings, trying to get this information out to the American public.
So powerful.
I mean, that footage absolutely stunned me. Now,
I thought
I knew a lot about food before I started making this movie, and Katie Couric thought she knew a lot about food. And I have to tell you, even if you think you know a lot about food, there are going to be things in this movie that you did not know that will blow your mind. And a lot of that happened. That happened to me in the experience of making the movie. So that's, you know, that's first. So if you think about this 30 years ago, that's before all these multi-million dollar industries evolved, like, you know, healthy, quote, healthy granola bars or fruit yogurt or all these liquid beverages that we're drinking. You know, that was, so 30 years ago, they knew we were having too much sugar. And then they let this, all these industries just run amok with heavy doses of sugar in all the products and no warning to the American public. And I keep wondering, like, what happened to the Surgeon General? Do you remember when we used to have a Surgeon General that would say, that would warn us about smoking and tobacco?
Yeah, smoking is
bad. Warned us about AIDS. Where's the Surgeon General warning us about sugar?
And, you know, Lori, in that movie, I did a big, like, when I came home and started Googling things because of, we are absolutely lied to, I think, purposely. I think things are covered up purposely. So I brought up with my husband Simply Orange, the orange juice. And he said, Gina, I already checked the labels. And it's pure orange juice, you know, no sugar added, blah, 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 blah. Well, I spent like 2 hours on Google. It's owned by Coca-Cola. And God only knows what's in it. But nowhere on the packaging, nowhere on the labels does it say anything about being owned by Coca-Cola, which then makes me suspect already. But it is about checking and knowing that.
Let me just address this orange juice issue, because this is a big one. Because that's the, you know, in the old days, people, when you had orange juice, it was a tiny little, like a little shot glass.
That's how much
juice you would have.
Right.
And the thing about orange juice is it's not so much about the added sugar. When you take the fiber out, for example, when you eat an orange, you're getting natural sugar.
Right.
And it's healthy for you, and there's no problems with that. Same thing with apples. But when you extract just the juice, what you're left with is the sugar. So apple juice is unbelievably high in sugar, and orange juice, ounce for ounce, has as much sugar in it as a Coca-Cola. And if you think about this, this is how most kids in America are starting their day, with a big glass of orange juice and a sugary cereal. They're already over the maximum they should be having in a day. And this is really an important point, because there are safe thresholds for sugar, and the numbers are fairly low. So for a child, it's somewhere between 3 and 4 teaspoons. For a woman, it's like 7 or 8 teaspoons, something in there. And the average person is consuming 22 teaspoons a day and up. I mean, that's what we used to consume in a month in the old days, okay? So here, hello, we have a problem. I mean, something is seriously wrong, and the sugar is in everything people are eating. If you are not cooking real food from scratch, if you're not making food yourself, you do not know what's in it. But I can guarantee you it has tons of sugar, tons of salt, tons of fat. And, you know, herein lies the problem. So people go into a grocery store, and they're buying store-bought salad dressing and store-bought spaghetti sauce and healthy granola bars and items that say low fat and non-fat, and they think that they're eating something healthy. And why shouldn't they think it? But the truth is that all those products just have massive amounts of sugar. You're eating sugar with every single meal, and it's making America and the world sick. And we have skyrocketing diabetes and cancer and obesity as a result of this. So, you know, we have been in a food fog, and it's really, really critical and urgent that we get out of it.
And what we're doing is spreading all over the world. Everybody wants to be like us and put up the McDonald's and put up the Jack in the Box and put up the Wendy's. So what we're eating in our compromised food supply is like a disease that's spreading. I mean, it's unbelievable. So other than the George McGovern piece was shocking, pejorative, unnerving. Another, to me, government cover-up. It was terrible to me. What other things did you and Katie discover that were really upsetting and concerning that you want to share with us?
I think there's so many things in the movie that are,
there are.
Super surprising.
But
I have to say, even if we tell you what they are, it will not have the same impact as sitting in a theater and watching this with friends or family.
With your jaw dropping.
It's an It's an incredible experience to hear everybody in the theater gasp or everybody kind of get mad at the same time. There was this whole thing about that sugar has all these other names, that there are over 56 different names for sugar. And this is how they kind of trick you or hide the sugar in products. They don't have to call it sugar. There's 54 other names that they can call it, so you don't necessarily know that's what you're eating. And, you know, the fact that sugar is measured in grams. Now, I'm a cook, okay? I don't know what a gram is. I'm sorry. I don't. I can tell you what a teaspoon is.
Right.
And so why aren't they labeling these products in a way that the average person can understand them? That's what goes back to what you said before. It's purposeful. It is purposeful to get you to eat it. Because the sugar is the thing that makes the food, you know, palatable. It's the combination of that sugar, salt, and fat. It's, you know, a lot of these processed foods are being designed by chemists, lab technicians, not chefs. And, you know, we're outsourcing one of the most intimate things that we, as the most important thing we should be doing for ourselves and our family, which is feeding ourselves, right? We're outsourcing it to strangers. And my point is this, that they do not give a hoot about your health or your family's health. They don't.
No,
they
it's
want
about
to sell
the money.
Products. How do they sell products?
Yep.
By addicting you, right?
Yep.
And here's the other big, you know, here's another big thing. Sugar is addictive. It is addictive. And if you think about, you know, adults, you can feel a certain way about it. But when you start to think about kids, that we're allowing these industries to addict our children. And Dr. Harvey Karp in the movie says it beautifully. If this was another country attacking our children, we'd go to war.
No kidding.
Like, why are we allowing this to happen? And then start looking at the school lunch program in America. And the Congress wants to roll back what little, you know, progress we've made. And we have a great segment about school lunch in the movie. I mean, it's just like who are we as a people? What are our values? And how do, you know, what kind of respect do we have for children that this is the food we think they should be eating? And I love that Katie Kirk wrote an op-ed for USA Today recently, and she challenged every member of Congress who wants to roll these regulations back to eat school lunch themselves every day for a year and see how they like it. What about that? The fact that pizza is a vegetable?
Pizza is
a vegetable.
Yeah.
French fries are considered a vegetable.
A vegetable, right. And
but the thing is, we have to get so mad that we don't put up with it anymore. I mean, this to me is one of those places where you have to draw the line. Like, no, that's not okay with us. And even if you have a child who you send to school with a school lunch, with homemade lunch, I mean, none of our kids in this country should be eating this junk for lunch. None of them.
And it's. Yeah, like I get, when you start talking, I get so worked up. Going back to your...
I'm getting worked up talking about it, let me tell you.
I've been worked up since. I go in a...
Not a day goes by that I'm not fed up.
Neither, and I look at this and I think, this is not real food. And getting ready to be with our grandkids for 9 days. I mean, the way that we are going to eat and that we're planning for it is entirely different than it would have been 5 years ago. I'll be honest with you. Okay.
Fantastic. Look, we're all learning. It's a learning curve. And I would say the same thing. If I could take back every friggin' chicken finger that I gave my kids, and I can remember, I talk about this in my cookbook.
I read that in your cookbook.
Stores, right, and getting those huge containers of goldfish. Right, thinking like, God forbid I go anywhere without goldfish.
The Costco
and it makes
size.
Me crazy right now. Yeah. And I wasn't aware that, and I was an environmentalist. I didn't know that there were all those dyes in that food. I didn't know how much salt was in that food. I didn't understand like the processed food. I didn't understand it completely. I knew that I knew my fruits and vegetables should be organic, and I knew that we always cooked in my house. But I remember eating Pop-Tarts as a kid too. And not understanding, you know, where. But here's the thing: it's where the healthcare cost of the diseases as a result of the food we're eating is going to bury this country. It really is going to do it. And who are going to be the first responders? Who are going to be fit for the military if one in three kids are overweight or obese?
And that's already happening.
I mean,
that's already happening.
It's already happening.
Yeah,
it's already happening. So we have a big problem on our hands, and we all have to, you know, we all have to participate in trying to solve this. But, for, you know, the thing to me that is so exciting and it's so positive, and it's very nice to work on an issue where you feel like there's a solution, a tangible solution, unlike global warming, where, you know, you do, countries do have to cooperate with each other, and they have to do, you know, act courageously, and, you know, we can wait a long time till that happens. But with this problem, it's completely preventable, and the solution is in your kitchen. Now, how fantastic is that? That's the room your house you're all hanging out in anyway.
You don't have to go anywhere. You can stay home.
You don't have to go anywhere.
Make the change.
Just start cooking, and it's going to be fun. It's going to bond you with your kids. It's going to teach you your kids a thousand things that they need to know. And how powerful and fantastic is that?
I know. It's something over which we have such control. And when you there's such a dichotomy to me, and it's even worse. I can't even think of a heinous enough word about the hypocrisy. That's a better word, that the leaders of our country know that the costs, the obesity-related costs, are really incalculable. That, I mean, you know, they say $200 billion, but the related costs are probably over $1 trillion. And where, you know, I read somewhere in the research that, you know, the National Institute of Health expends less than $1 billion annually. My response to that was, we don't need to spend money doing long-term studies. Stop eating sugar. Stop eating processed foods. I already know the truth. I don't need another study. We have enough. We can see the kids. We see the numbers. We see the diabetes. There's my little rant. So do you agree with that? We don't need any more studies. We need to get busy.
No, we don't need any more studies, and we don't need them for global warming either. But, you know, one of the things that the food industry and beverage industry does as a tactic, and it's, you know, right out of the tobacco playbook, is that they spread misinformation, number one, but they also fund studies themselves. And this is, you know, all this does is confuse people
right.
and set any kind of progress back. And I'll
Good
give you
point.
One perfect example that just happened last week, which is that a study came out and it was reported all over mainstream media, including CNN on its ticker. And the study said, diet soda helps you lose weight. Now, wow, what a headline. Like, you know,
Boom.
Okay, the answer to everyone's problem.
Right.
Guess who the study was funded by?
Coke or Pepsi?
Coca-Cola. You know, and what's infuriating about it is that people don't hear that piece of it, but they saw the headline. So that's a mainstream media problem. Like, why are they running that as a story? Why are they picking that up as a story? It's outrageous, and it's so wrong. First of all, and I love ranting about diet soda, because this is something, you know, if people are looking for something to cut out of their lifestyle, soda, you know, number one, gone. And diet soda, actually, the irony of it is it makes you hungrier. You eat more when you drink this stuff.
And
you
the
know,
chemicals
one,
in
one
it
diet
are so
soda a
toxic,
day and you're
yeah.
You know, your chances of diabetes go up, your chances of obesity. I mean, it's absolutely one of the worst things that you could be drinking. And, you know, and how about this as a segue? You know, now we have Taylor Swift, who has a huge tween fan base promoting Diet Coke. And I find that absolutely immoral.
I agree
and
with
she
you.
Doesn't understand, if she doesn't understand the ramifications of that, I'm certain someone in her camp must.
And it's all
I mean,
about
it's
the
not
money.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all about the money, and no one cares about what's happening to our kids. No, no one cares.
And the
otherwise we'd be protecting them, wouldn't we? We'd be protecting them. The marketing that's aimed, targeted to children is off the charts outrageous. It's in there it's everywhere they go. It's in their schools, it's in their
And you know, when we have to take a short break. But when we come back, I'd like to talk about a little bit more about the movie and the way that you did the documentary, which was chronicling the lives of those kids, which really was so gripping. I mean, you talk about as a mother sitting there, now I'm a grandmother, getting reeled in to their real pain, their real challenges, and their real efforts to not be obese. I mean, that little girl, it just broke my heart. I mean, maybe you know, I've got a soft spot for girls, but each of them was trying to know better and do better, and not all happy endings. So I'd love to talk about that a little bit more when we come back, and we have to share what fun thing you did with delivering the M&Ms to Congress, because the show has to be a little bit about fun too. Everybody,
wasn't that fantastic?
Oh my God,
I love that.
I loved it. We got to come back with some fun. Okay, everybody, stay here with me. Lori David, executive produced Fed Up with Katie Couric. Please stay here with me. You won't want to miss a word.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine, it's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines, it gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
Bookman Sports Exchange is now open at 3330 East Speedway. We're taking our passion and experience of buying, selling, and trading books and music and applying it to the world of sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear. We are giving you another way to save money on the things that you love, Bookman style. Remember, Bookman Sports Exchange, sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear, now open daily from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Speedway east of Country Club. Check out bookmans.com for more info.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and you better be thinking fast about going to see the movie Fed Up. I cannot exaggerate it. I cannot plea any more strongly than I can put the inflection in my voice. I am so thrilled to be interviewing one of the executive producers of the movie Fed Up, Lori David. She is an author, she's a producer, an environmental activist, and besides that most recent project, she has just published another book, The Family Cooks, which has 100-plus recipes to get your family craving food that's simple, tasty, and incredibly good for you. And I really want to talk about some of the absolute delightful parts of the book, Lori, but I have to do a short announcement that my team will kill me if I don't do it. I got so caught up in having you on. So two quick announcements while you're here with me. We're very excited that we have our membership program alive and growing. We'd love for you to become an official change agent for the planet by supporting the mission of Green's World. You can do it by visiting our website at mrsgreensworld.com. Click on the sustainer in the upper right-hand corner. And of course, we so hope you'll do just that. Another piece of great news is we can officially say there's an app for that to listen to our podcast. It's called Igloo Radio. And again, you can find everything you want to know about our homepage to download the free mobile app. And I can tell you that the feedback we're getting from listeners is great. They wanted an easy way to listen to our show that didn't involve sitting at their computer. So finally, Mrs. Green can say there's an app for that. So Lori, let's get on with Fed Up and the compelling story of the children that you got to agree to participate. I assume there was a piece of that, that here were these young kids putting their very private lives and their private pain in a public arena.
Yeah, what incredible courage they showed.
No kidding.
Whole family. We followed different families from around the country, and some of the families that we followed didn't make it into the movie, and they'll be on the DVD, which will be, and they were just as good. But the kids were incredible in the film, and what was so smart of director Stephanie Sotig is that she gave these kids flip cameras.
Yes.
And so they were recording themselves, and it's not like they were in their living room with a big boom mic, and now they were talking into the flip cameras in the privacy of their bedrooms, and they would send the cameras back every 2 weeks. Initially, Stephanie was just looking for background research from these cameras. She wasn't really thinking that she was going to use the footage, but of course the footage ended up being so great that we ended up using it in the movie.
And it'll grab you. I mean, it'll grab you in. Was it perplexing to you, or did I misread this? Because I'm not going to see the film just once. I am going to order it and have people, you know, friends over and family members, we're all going to be on board. It seemed to me that the parents, the parental role, they wanted to be on board, and yet without judgment, they seem to be a part of the problem. Like some of them were saying, I'm cutting down on the amount of, you know, not Cocoa Puffs, but packaged cereal that he's eating. And they were kind of perplexed about what direction to go, even though they had the best intention. Was that a read on my part that was accurate?
I think so, and I think that's a read for basically most people in this country. I think people don't really know what they're eating. They trust labels. They trust these products. They had them when they were a kid, and now they're feeding it to their kids. And they don't know what's wrong with them. And, you know, also so much, you know, so much misinformation is out there about what's healthy and what's not healthy. I mean, you cannot go through a supermarket without seeing, I mean, the shelves are lined with non-fat, fat-free options, right? Well, I mean, many times I would buy non-fat options, thinking I was buying.
Well, that's
got to
be
version.
Good, right?
Right, but guess what? It turns out it's not good.
Not
because
good.
When they took the fat out of these products, the it didn't taste good. So they had to do something to make them taste better, and so they poured in the sugar. And therein lies our problem.
And
so, you know, parents think they're doing right, and they're not. And that's what's heartbreaking about this problem. And that's what, you know, we really need to level the playing field. And that was one of the goals of all of us who made this movie, Katie and Stephanie and the whole setup team. We wanted to level the playing field for people so that they at least have a shot at a healthy future. They need some truth, whether it's inconvenient or not, and then they can make their choices.
Shocking piece of the movie to me. Never got it. Think I'm smart. Read labels. Live consciously. No sugar percentage content is on the labels. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. When you flash those labels up there and they don't have to disclose the percentage of sugar in the product. Like, really?
Can I tell you that there's not a person who has seen this movie, including the filmmakers, who knew that?
It was a shock for everyone.
It's a shock for everyone. But it really goes to how powerful the sugar lobby is and these food companies are that they have kept that off the label. Because what would happen if you actually had to put the percentage of your daily requirement of sugar in, say, a Capri Sun or a Danone yogurt? You know, and then you'd see this number that says 265% of your daily, you know, and guess what? You're not going to be buying that, right? So they've kept it off these labels all these years, and it's, again, another purposeful way to not to hide what's in this food, to keep you buying it. Because believe me, there's not a parent in the world who would buy, or a person in the world who would buy these products if they understood how many teaspoons of sugar were in it.
If it said right on
they
front.
Wouldn't put it in the food themselves.
Exactly.
I mean, can you imagine making something yourself in your kitchen, a small portion, and adding 8 teaspoons of sugar to it? Like, never.
And what it made me think about, quite frankly, is when you cook fresh food or whatever you're cooking, as long as it's you know, not coming out of a can, you don't even think of adding sugar. It doesn't even come up on your radar.
And you don't have any. Exactly.
Except for baking. I mean, when you're baking, but yeah. You know, one of the film experts, and I hope that I got this right, because like I said, I've only seen the movie once. I saw it the first week it came out and didn't even know you were going to be a guest at the time. I was so like, I've got to go see this movie. I don't remember exactly what the quote was, but one of the amazing people you interviewed, he said, at some point, don't you have to wonder how people providing the food to 80% of our public schools can sleep at night? And I don't know if he wrapped in the public schools, but he did say something how can some of these people that are literally shoving garbage down our throat, how can they sleep at night?
So that was Senator Tom Harkin,
yes.
I believe,
yes.
That in the movie. And he, you know,
he's been fighting it for 30 years.
Yeah, and it's and sadly he's retiring soon. So I mean, he's such an unbelievable advocate, and such a beautiful man, and you know, can show you that that good people can be in the Congress and do fight for the rights of children and people. And he's so fantastic. I'm so happy we had him in the movie. But he did the tobacco fight also, you know, and he makes that comparison to what the food industry is doing today to what the tobacco industry did years ago. And he asked the question, how do people sleep at night? I don't know.
I don't know how people sleep at night either. And going back to the, let's talk about, you know, one fun thing and then a shocking thing to me in terms of schools. The fun thing is, just share with everybody what you did about delivering the M&Ms to the members of Congress, because we have to have a little
fun.
Well,
a week ago, there was a lot of debate going on. There was supposed to be a vote on this lunch rollbacks, which basically the Republican Congress is trying to, the House of Representatives is trying to unravel, and Michelle Obama has been very vocal on this, and we thought as the Fed Up movie that we needed to take a little action. So we delivered tins of M&Ms that said Fed Up on them, and by the way, the M&M, or maybe it's a Skittle, I don't know which one it is, but it's on our poster. Our poster says, Congress thinks pizza is a vegetable.
Yes.
And then there's two M&Ms, and there's the letter F and the letter U. And basically, those are, Fed Up, it's initials, right? But it also really is about the message that Congress is giving to school kids across America. So I think that was such an amazing poster. And in fact, the MPAA tried to ban it, but then they reversed themselves 24 hours later. So now we have our poster for some reason. Anyway, we delivered that, those tins of... Can you hear that? The phone clicking? I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I can't.
Okay. So they delivered tins of these Fed Up M&Ms to the members of Congress that are trying to roll back the school lunch program with a card saying, you know, you eat this much sugar, this much candy for lunch. This is just half of the amount of sugar in school lunch today, and demanding that they do not roll back the school lunch regulations. So... that was really fun and
got their attention.
Some
I mean,
great
and
tweets,
if
some
I
great tweets out of it.
If I worked there, I'm one of the. I would have gone in the closet and eaten the M&Ms because of my sugar addiction. And I was having a little chuckle about that. You can be sure I do
right.
not keep M&Ms in my house. It's a trigger for me. I just when I go to somebody's house and have
thing.
A bowl, it's like,
yes.
oh, get it
yeah.
out of here.
But this is, you've just put your finger on a really important point that I think the movie makes and that we all need to understand is that it does trigger your brain. When you see this stuff,
it does.
It triggers something in your mind because it's addictive. And you are wired to crave sugar. So when you see it, you want it. Even if you're not hungry, even if you know you do not want to eat that. It will trigger your brain. And that goes to a very big problem in this country right now, which is that the food is everywhere people go. It's at every single cash register, regardless of whether or not the store is selling food or not. I mean, this kind of happened overnight, and nobody really noticed it. But, you know, go to a hardware store, there's candy. Go to a toy store, there's candy at the cash register. Every Bed Bath & Beyond is candy, the cash register. Everywhere you go, this stuff is being sold. And we're you know, that's a place I think people really have to start complaining. They have to start complaining to the management of these stores. What if every business in America decided to move the junk from the checkout? How powerful would that be? I mean, that would actually do something. And I'm not saying don't sell it if you want to sell it. Sell it in a corner. Make people go looking for it. There's a huge corporation in England called Tesco, and they are, I think, almost as big as Walmart. Anyway, they made a huge unilateral decision that they wanted to protect the health of their customers and help their customers be healthy, and they are removing all the junk from all the checkouts of their 6,000 stores.
Oh, my God, that is so hopeful.
Now, that...
that's a move.
It's hopeful, and it's inspiring. And
it's
if
inspiring.
They can do it, everyone can do it.
It's where I do it. It's where I fail because, honestly, I invite people to come do a home inspection in our house. Come on and find one bit of candy. We have these vegan, sugarless...
Listen, it's not even a matter of having, you know, if you want to have a couple of squares of chocolate for dessert or you bake and you want... I mean, I'm not saying you can't have dessert. I'm
right.
just saying we're now having dessert 24/7 and it's killing our kids. So,
and it could be in our, you know, our canned, like you said, it's in canned soup. It's in every single bit of processed food that you can
yep.
buy. There's no processed
every
food
that
doesn't have sugar in it. Everything.
Exactly,
our orange
exactly.
juice, I mean, it's really scary. What about the teachers, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. My friend and show producer, Kelly King, one of her teachers, who was a wonderful person, wonderful, loving person, was giving Skittles to her kids as rewards for good behavior in the classroom. And her son comes home.
You know what? I've been hearing this a lot. It's I don't think that's the only teacher that's doing it.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Well, how about using M&Ms and Cheerios and Fruit Loops for math lessons? I mean, this is a big problem, and I think that this is where FedUp can help families. I think if you
have a
group of parents in your classroom, get everybody, do a screening when the DVD comes out and watch this movie together. And then you'll all be on the same page, because there's no way you can watch Fed Up and then be okay with Skittles being used for rewards in your classroom. And, you know, we use food for reward for everything, starting with potty training. You know, you hit the mark, you get an M&M. I mean, how many people did that? How many parents have done that? So we have to start being very conscious, I think, of how we're using food as rewards. You know, why is it if you eat everything, you get dessert? Why is dessert the big reward? Why isn't the meal the reward?
I know. No kidding. It's a big shift.
It's a big shift, and it starts with cooking food yourself, and then I think we'll get there. But I think it's a problem when how much. Another thing with the schools is how much junk is coming into the schools every day. How much, you know, when my kids were in school, I could not believe, like, every day it was someone's birthday, so people would bring in donuts. Every day was a holiday. Every day was a special occasion. You know, who's bringing the snacks to soccer practice? Why does soccer practice need snacks? Like, we don't need...
And why don't you bring oranges or grapes or things like that?
Exactly.
Boy, we got that memo pretty quickly.
Bring some fruit. But the schools, they're just inundated with junk. And a lot of schools have, you know, this stuff, you know, vending machines and fast food restaurants are delivering pizzas to them. I mean, it's out of control.
It's the big special day, you know, for bringing your own lunch 4 days a week. And one of the kids in the movie talked about it. On Fridays, your choice is pizza, tacos, burgers and fries. I mean,
that's
what kids want to eat. I do not want a dish of broccoli if I can have a burger. I don't. And I'm 63.
Right. Now you're getting into the political argument. And this is the thing that is so, you know, ingenious. They're, all of a sudden, they're all concerned about waste, you know, food waste. I don't think so. They're using this excuse that the kids won't eat it.
Right.
You know? But let me tell you something. What kid, if they get to choose milk or chocolate milk, is going to choose the milk? They all choose the chocolate milk. What kid given offered pizza or salad is going to choose the salad? They're going to choose pizza. Well, it's our job as the adults to give them the food we know is going to be healthy for them. Do we ask kids what time they want to go to sleep at night? No, we don't. We tell them what time they need to go to sleep because we know as adults what's healthy for them.
And we're their protectors.
So it's crazy
that's our job.
About choice for these kids. It's all like the kids should be choosing. The kids should not be choosing. The adults should be choosing. And if you give them healthy food, good, well-cooked, healthy food, they will eat it, they'll enjoy it. And this goes to, you know, another thing, is that I think that parents are giving up too quickly when they're feeding their kids. And they're saying, they're giving their children something to try, and the kid said they don't like it. And they're like, oh, my kid doesn't like it. And then we pull out that horrible term, which I think should be banned, you know, picky eater. We say, oh, our kid's a picky eater. And then guess what happens? Your kid becomes a picky eater because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I want to talk about that in the next segment. I mean, in your book, you nailed so many things about it. I got the picky eater on my head, you know, stamped on my head. And I actually read that part of your book, which we'll talk about. What about, we have 2 minutes, so we go to the next break, and then the next part is all going to be about the family cooks, because that's the solutions, the fun, engaging solutions.
Yep.
The book, The Family Dinner, was something I talked about and shared and believed to be true, so we'll segue to that. But have you been getting a lot of pushback from the food industry? Are they trying to ignore you or stop you at every step of the way?
I have to tell you, I'm a little disappointed that we haven't gotten more pushback.
I get it.
That I think that they are trying to ignore us. I think that they think, oh, it's going to come and go and just ignore it. There was a little pushback from the Grocery Manufacturers Association at the very beginning. They put some false facts up, and they said, "Oh, the movies, you know." But basically, there's no one is disputing any of the facts.
No one has the nerve.
Not a single thing.
Right.
Not
to stand
one
up against
single
it.
Thing. Exactly.
And the people.
So I wish they were making a little more noise.
No, it's, you know, I went to this 2-day workshop and John McDougal was one of the speakers and they're not covering him anywhere. So everybody stay here with us when we come back. We're going to talk more with Lori David about her book, The Family Cooks, and it's going to be great. Stay here with me.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI clean diesel technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI clean diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
The Habit Store is a big operation with staff and volunteers working hard to reduce our carbon footprint. We sell donated building materials, furniture and appliances, and recycle the metal from items that we can't repair or sell. We even have solar panels on the roof. The good deals we offer shoppers means Tucson Habitat can build and renovate homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store's store hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturdays, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road, just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. If you have just joined us, our guest today is Lori David, an environmental activist who for over a decade has brought her passion and dedication to environmental and food issues, producing the game-changing Academy Award-winning documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, and she has been helping to ignite the green movement in America. Most recently, Lori has partnered with award-winning journalist Katie Couric to executive produce Fed Up, a feature-length documentary that examines the causes and impact of the childhood obesity epidemic, and more importantly, what can be done about it. In April of this year, she released a cookbook, So This Woman Never Sleeps, and I know she has her own garden, and I know she cooks. She released the book, The Family Cooks. It's all about getting your family to crave food that's simple, tasty, and incredibly good for you. And Lori, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. It's just been thoroughly delightful, as mad as I am.
Well, thank you for letting me, get out some of my steam that builds up over the course of a day.
And, you know, you gave me great sound bites for Twitter, which we have a very active Twitter, and things like Congress thinks pizza is a vegetable, do you? So we're going to be putting those things up to promote the show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's a really good one.
I love Twitter, and I'm on Twitter, too, and my motto is cook or be cooked.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to write that down, too, because my team loves it when I send them good notes that they can use for us, cook or be cooked. I love it. Okay, let's talk about the book, because it is not just a grab-you-in book. It's simple. It's fun. And I have to ask, was what its relationship was to the movie? Did you decide it had to be a solution, or were you already working on it?
You know, I was already working on it as a follow-up to The Family Dinner, and both books I did with Kirsten Ehrenholt, who's my cookbook partner, and she comes up with the recipes, and it is a solution, and it did kind of drive us, and of course Katie Couric wrote the forward, but it is exciting to be, it's coincidental that they came out at the same time, but I love having, being able to hand people this cookbook and say, this is the solution. And the goal of this book was you know, all these myths that we have been marketed and advertised to, that cooking is hard or cooking takes too long or we're no good at it. Those are, you know, those are advertising claims to make us buy their products. And we've, unfortunately, you know, we started to believe it. So we're not cooking as much as we should be. We are, half of all our meals are being made by strangers or corporations, and we have to get back to it. So this book is going to help everyone do that. The recipes are super simple. They're 5 ingredients or less. They take, you know, anywhere from 10 minutes to a half hour. Your kids can cook these recipes. My college student daughters are cooking from this cookbook. There's no excuses, honestly. And the great thing is that you're going to have so much fun doing it. Actually, cooking is fun, guys. You know, it really is. And put some music on when you get ready to get into your kitchen and cook. And light a candle and enjoy the process. And bring your kids into the process, because that's how they're going to become great eaters. And I know from having now raised 2 daughters, I'm so proud of the fact that they can both cook food themselves. And I know that they have a shot at staying healthy because of it.
I'm so proud of the fact that this book makes it fun, because we're going to take it. We're going on vacation with our grandkids for 9 days, and it's just the grandkids and us. And I'm going to take the book because they love to cook. They make Mother's Day dinner. They make Father's Day dinner, and they're healthy. My daughter is very committed to health. She, not unlike me, has that sugar addiction, which we are always working on. But it's. I have to ask you something to go back to the very first show you did with me. One of the things I remember you said, I don't really want to talk about an inconvenient truth. I want to talk about the family dinner, because global warming, sustainability begins at the family dinner table. That's what I really want to talk about. And I remember that. And one of the things that I remembered, and I couldn't find it in this book because I didn't have time, you had a rule. This is a cell phone free zone. This is a gizmo, electronic gizmo free zone at the dinner table. It's a circle that you don't permeate, which I do. I'm the mean one when we have family over. I'm like, no cell phones at my table. Thank you. Sorry. Just call me mean. Do you still enforce that? Is that still one of the core values of eating with Laurie David?
Oh, my gosh, do I? But the good news is I don't have to enforce it every night, because my kids, cell phone addicted children,
they grew up,
know that they enforce themselves now,
right,
with their
right.
friends. And I'll tell you, I will enforce this if I'm in a restaurant and I'm eating with people who I don't know that well, and they put their phone on the table face up. I will not have a meal like that. I won't.
I'm with you.
It takes away every single thing that the meal is supposed to do. And it means that whoever's phone it is, they're not present, it's going to constantly go off. So I ask people to put them away, and I enforce it. And I feel like we have to do that when we're out at restaurants also, because it's gotten out of control there. I think it's you have to show people what boundaries are. So I love that rule. We live by that rule. It's, you know, rule run number one, no phones. And what the way I enforced it too with younger kids, that was that if I heard it go off, or I heard a vibration, I get the phone. And your kids do not want to give you their phone.
They really,
you know,
don't.
So guess what happens? They stop bringing it to the table.
That's right.
They stop bringing it to the
There's
table.
Nothing vibrating in their pocket. Oh, my gosh. Well, my niece,
exactly.
at our Father's Day dinner at my brother's house, we were talking about cell phones, and there weren't any at the table except when we asked permission, all of us, to take a picture. And my niece, who's 16, said, we're starting to do phone stacks, where they all stack their phone. And I mean, to me, I was like, Tara, you got to be kidding me. That's encouraging, because we were all together and all end up on our phones. So there is hope. But let's go back to the book. What is the book, in designing the book and writing it, did you feel like you adequately addressed what I call the socioeconomic divide, where people, another myth is eating healthy is more expensive? So poor people can't do it.
I actually think that is a myth, and I think we kind of bust that.
It is a myth.
Look, if you're buying, you know, a bag of lentils, you can eat off of that thing for a long time. And if you make a hearty soup with beans in it, that's going to cost you a lot less than any junk you're going to get from takeout. I think food deserts are a real problem. You know, not having access to healthy food, that's a real real problem. But I think that it is a myth that it's cheaper to buy food made from other people. It's just not. And certainly it's not cheaper for your health. That I can tell you. But this book is has very accessible ingredients. That was important to us. And, you know, you want to teach people to kind of get out of their box a little bit. So we have an explanation about what miso is. And I don't know if you cook with miso, but it's a fantastic ingredient that lasts a year in your refrigerator. And you can use it to make soups. You can use it to make salad dressings. You could use it for marinades, for seafood. It's really fantastic, fantastic ingredient. So we have things like that's the most exotic thing, I would say, in this cookbook. And the rest are all very, very easy access recipes that are incredibly delicious that your family is going to love. And the more you make something over and over again, too, when you learn to how to make something by heart, like we want a lot of these recipes to become things you know by heart. And then it's even faster to cook. You know, when you know what you're doing and you know it by heart. So I think this is a great book for people who don't have a lot of time. It's a great book for people who haven't cooked before or who cook and don't think that they can do it that well, for great recipes to get your kids participating. And, of course, the more your kids do in terms of making the meal, the better they're going to eat. So that's, and kids love to cook, and what a great bonding experience it is to cook with
kids. Kids love to cook, and I am going to send you an email for how things go when we do our vacation. Might even send you a couple of pictures, but in the book, there's these little keys.
I'm dying to hear. I can't wait.
It's really cool. There's little keys on the bottom that say, you know, cook's tips, play with it, which gives you, you know, you can look at some options. And the thing, of course, I loved getting ready to go on vacation, the big K, kids in charge, because sometimes you just want to get it done. And the kids are like an annoying factor. This gives them a focused, fun activity that they can do and actually be helpful and feel like they're a part of it. I love that. Don't know whose idea that was, but it really grabbed me.
Well, I think it's a great idea. And it's also, you know, even if you just have your kids ripping up the herbs or stirring a pot, or one of the things I always like to do is make one of your kids, you know, the taster, the taste tester. And, look at how much pride your kid has when you ask them to say, you're our official taste tester. You have to tell us, does it need more salt? Does it need more lemon or pepper? And they just take pride in that. And they're usually right about what it needs. So that's a simple thing that you can always do, is have your kids taste your food for you.
And I think, let's go back to the picky eater part, because you have, and I'm sure I got his name right, I don't know how to say it, Dr. Robert Lustigs, is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yes.
And he has a quote that was a shocker in the book. And it was affirming in a way, that a baby has to be introduced to a savory food 13 times before they accept it. But the food that's sweet, they eat it right away. Talk about hardwire. Right. Who knew?
Yep. Isn't that amazing? So that goes back to parents like too quickly giving up. So it can take anywhere from 10 to 13 to 15 times of your palate tasting something before you accept it and like it. And we give up after the second or third try. So it's so important. This is another rule, that everyone taste everything. That's critically important. And that, you know, it also shows respect for the person who prepared the food and the people who grew the food. So I think that's a really important thing. Everyone taste everything. But keep presenting the food and eat it yourself. I was a lunch mom at a community school lunch yesterday, and I was sitting next to two first graders, and one of the dishes was chickpeas. And I'm obsessed with chickpeas right now, but I love them. These were served in a bowl. I think they'd been roasted very lightly. And I said to the little boy, may I give you some chickpeas? And he says, I don't like them. And then the girl next to him said, I don't like them either. And I'm like, well, you know what? Everybody's going to try them, so I'm going to put three on each of your plate, and you're going to taste them, and you're going to tell me what you think. Well, guess what? You know, three portions later, they love them.
They're eating it.
But it's so easy to just say, okay, they don't want them or they don't like them. Like, you just have to, you know, it's our job. Look, we put kids on bicycles and we teach them how to ride a bike, right?
Over and over and over. Yes.
And it doesn't take one try. It takes a gazillion tries, and you're falling on your butt, your back is killing, and you're like running alongside this bike. Well, it's the same thing with food. We have to teach our kids how to eat, and it's our job that by the time they go off to college, they're eating everything.
And we're not talking.
I think it can be done.
boring, awful things. I mean, there's a chocolate-covered banana recipe in there that is like, this is fun stuff. It's not all, you know, put a little bit of flavoring on cardboard. There's really good, fun recipes in here. Go ahead. I was going to tell you, I'm not sure I'm going to do the cauliflower popcorn, but that would be a stretch for me.
What are you talking about? That's the best recipe in the cookbook. Why wouldn't you do that? That's so funny that you said that. All right, let me tell you this. You don't have to put, here's all you do, and you can do this with every vegetable. And I'm telling you that I cannot take this dish. When I take it out of the oven, it doesn't even make it to the kitchen table because everyone's walking by grabbing it. It's unbelievable. Kids go nuts over this. You will not believe how much cauliflower your child can consume. And this recipe calls for one head of cauliflower. I'm telling you, that's going to be gone in 10 minutes.
That is cracking me up that I picked that one.
This is so easy. So you chop up the cauliflower, you toss it with a little olive oil and salt, and you roast it in the oven and at 450 till it's brown and yummy. And it will taste like candy. You're going to go crazy for this recipe because it's going to taste like candy.
It's cracking me up. I looked at the picture and I thought, oh, yum. And then I looked over, it says roasted cauliflower popcorn. I don't think that's happening for me. But
no,
olive oil and
happening.
Salt, okay.
That's your number one recipe that you have to try.
That's my homework. And, you know, I don't want...
And then you can do... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I can do what?
And then I was going to say you do the same thing with Brussels sprouts, and you do the same thing with broccoli. And that's how you make all your vegetables, and this is how we get kids to eat vegetables, because they are going to taste so good.
My kids eat plates of Brussels sprouts, and I mean, I think I have to go to some type of food hypnotist to get me rid of the... My mother made healthy food. She had Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, asparagus. I can't even stand the smell of them, but I'm working on it. I'm doing better.
I think that we have your problem solved with this cookbook. You start with the cauliflower, cook it the way it says, and I am telling you, you are going to love it, and you're going to let go of all those old memories of whatever those vegetables were. And this is today's vegetables, and they're roasted, and they're caramelized, and they are fantastic.
Well, whoever did that photograph sucked me right in when I was going through the thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks so good. And I do want, I promise.
All these pictures were shot on my farm. These are all that rusty tin that broccoli and cauliflower is baked on is mine. I've been using it for 25 years. Everything in this book is real and authentic, and Kirsten gets so much credit for coming up with these just fantastic recipes. And this is the food we're eating every day, and I just love it. And I'm excited to share it with other people. I really am.
And I'm excited to share it with other people, and thank you for sending it to me, because I would not have had the time, and I'm thrilled that I got it and poured through it, and now it's coming up on time for a family vacation, so I'll be putting some things up about it. You know, before we go to the end of the show, and we do have a little bit of time left, I want to make sure that we promote this show every way we can, so the hashtag we should use for Twitter, everybody, is #FedUp. That would be my number one recommendation. My other recommendation, we always have a call to action, and people, watch the movie. The life you save may be your own. That's how I feel. Or your child or your grandchild, because so many grandparents are raising children. So there's my commercial for you, Lori David. It's like, buy the book.
Well, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for that. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And the more people that see this movie, the more theaters it will go to. So that's a really important impetus as well, I think.
And the underlying message that I want people to be left with is, we honestly don't need to wait for public policy. We have all the power, and it's called our purse. It's called our money. It's called how we buy things, and we've started the shift. I believe that just the proliferation of farmers markets shows that the consciousness is shifting. We don't have to wait for a new farm bill. Let's you know, make things happen and have manufacturers hear us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, sister. So everybody, I want to just tell you, joining me next week, we're going to totally switch to the survivalist mode. Cody Lundeen, who has truly dedicated most of his life to teaching people life-saving skills about Indigenous cultures and about the values and integrity for respect for our natural world, You will not want to miss this one. He is quite a character, and he's doing great stuff. Lori David, you keep on keeping on, and I can't wait for your third show. You know there'll be one.
Thank you so much, Gina.
Okay.
Thanks for all your good work.
Make it a great green
Bye-bye.
Week, everybody. Thanks, Lori David. Fed up.